Let's bow for prayer. Lord, I ask that you would take our senses and use them to worship you more fully, to speak of you more closely, and to desire you more eagerly. In the name of Jesus, amen. I grew up among different smells. We had a pig barn, which had a noxious odor, but especially during spring when we spread the manure on the fields. I could hardly stand it. My father joked that it was the smell of money. When I was a teenager, I received my first cologne as a gift. Brut. What a relief to splash that on after doing my chores, working in the pig barn, having a shower, and then putting on the cologne, which to my mind completely covered the smell of the pig barn. Emphasis on the to my mind. A third smell was different. It was the smell of spring flowers. They were not welcome at our farm. My mother had asthma and very bad allergies, and often found it very hard to breathe during those times. She could hardly stand it, and sometimes had to go for long rides in the middle of the night just to get away from those smells. Saturdays were wonderful. Having worked for much of the day outside and coming inside for supper, the smell of freshly baked bread was unbelievable. Saturday night, fresh buns, hockey night in Canada, and a bath. Perfect. Smells. They say that our memory is probably most keenly felt through the sense of smell. Or, put it another way, smells trigger so many memories. Smell also figures in the scriptures as a way or as an aspect of worship. In the Old Testament, we read that the aromas of burnt offerings and sacrifices were to permeate the skies of Israel as they moved through, first of all, their process to the new land, to the promised land, but also as they lived there. These were seen as somehow as gifts devoted to God, or Yahweh as they knew him personally. The tabernacle and then the temple became places where the sacrifices kept the flames going and the incense rising day in, day out, night in and night out, as a symbol of the prayers of the people continually and always wafting upwards toward their Father, God in heaven. Like the aroma of the sacrifices rising up to God, so also the prayers of God's people rise up to God. In her wonderful little book called Wearing God, Lauren Winner has a chapter on smell. An interesting little fact that I did not realize before was that there's a phrase in scripture which shows that so-called God becomes angry. But it literally means to have inflamed nostrils. God's nose burns, it says, when people worship falsely. Likewise, the Hebrew idiom for patience translates literally the phrase having a long nose. which makes sense if you think of it as a kind of enduring the aromas that come from people. But this morning I want to talk specifically on aspects which allow us to think about and to respond to God in worship more appropriately, perhaps more richly, and which draw on aspects of our lives. Prayer is the aroma to God. 2 verses 14 to 17 says, the Apostle Paul, and he tells the Corinthians here, that they are to have an aroma which arises to God. But in other words, he says that they are an aroma which rises to God. Not only should they be, but they already are. And they are already pleasing, or they are noxious. They are already pleasant, or they are painful. They are already an aroma, or they are a stench. But then Paul goes on to say that this aroma isn't really ours, but it is ours as we put on Christ. It is Christ's aroma through us which reaches God, and it is that reality which brings our worship to fruition and makes it acceptable to God. Ephesians 5 verse 2 reads, and walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So I would like to just talk about the four ways in which we can think of aroma as a way of our worship to God. If we were part of the so-called high churches in our Western culture, incense would be a well-known part of our worship. Incense is a symbol for the continual prayers of the people rising up to God. They are the prayers together, and they are the prayers continuous. In our church, we have a peace candle, and it's going right there. And by it, we draw attention to the conflicts and wars that are both in our hearts and in our world, and ask that the peace of Christ would find its way into our lives and among all nations. And so you will see that candle lit every time. Now, if we were a different church and no one here was allergic to scents, we might have a perfumed candle there as well, or a perfumed fuel. And that would give us another reminder of the kind of fragrance that is meant by the sense of smell. But I want to also think of another sense of fragrance that comes to our worship every Sunday. Every Sunday, we smell the wonderful lunches that are being prepared or have been brought by our friends here, and sometimes who have come and dropped off something and then left without being able to enjoy them with us. But every Sunday we have a lunch prepared downstairs, and we smell the intoxicating invitation to share good food together, to share our dreams, our struggles, sometimes our gifts with one another. Let that also be an impulse for us to pray for the hungry, that they too would find food, perhaps as a reminder for us to contribute to those needing food in the ways that we can. Perhaps for the lonely who would find a friendship that we are so ably enjoying in our basement, and that people everywhere would find the faith and hope and love that we have found in Christ. Secondly, the aroma of repentance. As I mentioned earlier, the fragrance reaching God from sacrifice, then from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, also reaches us. In the wine and the juice, sorry, the wine or juice and the bread, we sense a gift, the gift of life, the gift of Jesus' life, and his desire that we share with him the total, unlimited grace of the one he called Father. So also that perhaps can add to our understanding and experience of God with us. So in both the wine and the bread, we experience the welcome of Christ, both as brothers and sisters, but also as friends. The aroma of witness. Like the freshly baked bread gives off a wonderful aroma that invites one and all to share in the warmth and joy of friendship, so also we are invited to share with others. We're invited to share the source of our hope and joy. Witness can take on many forms. Some of them occur with words. Some of them share the hope that is within us. But then there are also those wonderful ways of witness which bring hope, witness, and acceptance of one another, of welcome, of sharing, of just being with. The word Emmanuel means God with us. When we are with others in the name of Christ, we witness to the open arms of Jesus, who longs for everyone to come unto him. As the gospel writer says, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then there is the aroma of love. Love, that sweet smell of friendship, both with God and with one another. But we dare not remember or forget that sense of smell that is also on the noxious side. It is the sense that somehow it isn't just the good smells that live and inhabit our world. It is also the difficult ones. In his book on the Wigan Pier, George Orwell writes that the real secret of class distinctions in the West can be summed up in four frightful words. The lower classes smell. Poor people, homeless people, for many, are shunned because they smell, because they can't wash, because they don't have facilities, because they don't take care of themselves like they could. And so, for many of us, we are told we shouldn't go near them. We are told we shouldn't help them, except from a distance, or perhaps through agencies. Perhaps for many of us, we don't know any. We are taught to think they are repulsive. But let us remember also that Jesus too was homeless. That sometimes he too was unwashed. That he sometimes too was dirty and, yes, smelly. And so the aroma of love is urged upon us as our form of worship when we see those who are in need of a special touch, of a special hand, of a special hug, of a special acceptance. And the aroma of love may begin with the welcome of those who, like Jesus, needed a wash, needed a home, and needed a friend. I want to read just a brief account here that Lauren Winter has in her book, written by Kimberly Jackson. And I'll conclude with that. Kimberly writes, "A student of mine called me late one evening after worship. He was really excited on the other end, and I had to ask him to slow down. So he says, 'Mother Kim, this strange thing happened to me today. After worship tonight, I was riding the train back to my apartment when this woman sat down next to me. I had my earbuds in, so I wasn't really paying her any attention, but she tapped me to get my attention. She said, "Son, you smell like church. You smell like church." Now, the Apostle Paul tells us in his letter to the Corinthians that those who know Christ have a particular smell. When we come to know God, come to trust and believe in the power of God's love, there's an aroma, a fragrance that lingers in the room even after we leave. To borrow from the words of the woman on the train, when we encounter God, we begin to smell like church. Or to borrow from Paul, we smell like Christ. That evening, on the phone with my student, I asked him what happened next. He said, "She started to cry. And then she looked up at me and said, 'Thank you. I haven't been to church in a long time.'"